Growing the Game with Ballsy. He's brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigree, durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at rivièreagseeds.ca. This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, a podcast dedicated to growing the sport of football in Saskatchewan. Now, here's Ballsy.
Time now to speak with Brendan Tam in our feature from the boardroom, which people are really digging, and I am too, because this guy is a very bright mind in the Canadian Football League. So, Brendan, let's get your thoughts on Simone Lawrence and the whole shenanigans around that. And by shenanigans, I mean the fact it's taking to July the 9th for them to have a hearing on this thing.
Yeah, it's a joke. I mean, it's a flat-out joke. The guy shouldn't... I mean, I don't know the legal system on HR and all that stuff. I've been hearing that it's not that difficult to schedule a hearing, but he's a good player, obviously. So to see him do what he did against Toronto last week, and I'm sure he'll continue to play well. But when a guy does a flagrant violation like that to your rules, and he can just keep playing, I mean, how is it going to look if he does something else stupid in between this? I mean, that would just be so appropriate, actually. But the whole thing is just, like I said, it's a joke.
Yeah, it's a farce. Brendan Tamman, what makes the home opener special, as the Riders have today? And is it special for a guy in your role as a GM? I always know, when you were here, you always stood on the sidelines, usually stood next to O'Day, had a couple other people standing around you down from the bench. But what was it like for you, those home openers?
Well, it sort of signals the start of your year, and I know they've played two games already, but it really sort of kickstarts your big push into your season, and that doesn't demean the Hamilton and Ottawa games, but it's quite exciting. You know, Jeremy and Craig are looking for their first win, so there's nothing special I'm sure they'd rather have is to do it one at home and to beat Chamberlain honest.
Yeah.
So, it's a big game for them, but it's exciting. It's sort of... You know, when you get into week 3 and week 8 and week 10 and 11 other than Labor Day, it's sort of just another regular season game. But the home opener, it's like a kickstart to your new outlook, so to speak.
Toronto got crushed in their home opener. What's the worst you've ever been spanked, Brendan?
I think I was in Saskatchewan and we played in Winnipeg on a Banjo Bowl one year. And I think it was like 42 to 10 or something like that. That was... it's almost like just get the game over with. It's just horrible. And on top of that, for Toronto, it looked like they had some injuries compounding their problems. So
yeah,
that would not have been a fun experience. But it's just sort of like just get it over with and get out of here kind of thing.
Now, I'm friends with Corey, but you're closer to Corey than I am. What kind of Argos team do you think we're going to see in this ball game?
Well, you'll see a different rejuvenated one, I'm sure of that. Corey's a very, as you know, Ballsy, he's a very prideful guy, and he's a very smart guy. He'll use every kind of advantage he can get by beating they took last week. So he'll come in very detailed and ready and organized, and at the end of the day, he'll have his guys ready to go. Now, will they show it and perform the way he wants? That's always why you play the games, right? But, let's be honest, he's coming back to a place where he had a lot of success as a head coach, and he'll downplay it like everybody else does, but deep down, he'll be geeked up to play this game, as will the other two guys on the home sideline, too.
Now, before we get to Cody Fajardo, as he said we can call him, although it's Fajardo, but nobody pronounces it right, so he's going with the easy way. Anyway, before we get to Cody, I wanted to get your thoughts on James Franklin. This is an interesting ball game because our two starting quarterbacks are about in the same stage of their development in the Canadian Football League. What do you think about James Franklin? Does he have what it takes to be a starting quarterback, in your opinion, or is it too early to tell?
You know, when he played in Edmonton, when he got into those games, I thought he was going to be pretty good. I really did. He threw the ball so well. His deep ball was really good. And then he sort of flatlined a little bit over the last while, and I don't know if that's because of the offense he was in or whatever. So he's a question mark team. I want to bet on the fact that he's going to be okay and he's going to be good, but at times he just looks like maybe not, you know, and I know that's sort of a gray area that I'm giving you, but, you know, I think he's got a big few games ahead of him here to show whether he's going to be the guy or not, or they're going to have to make a change, I think.
Is that just being a young quarterback? And as a GM, how long do you give him to develop? I know Corey Chamberlain said, hey, we're going to let him try to win this job, earn this job, is how I think Corey worded it. But how long can you do that?
Well, there's a lot of factors that go involved with it, as you know. One of the biggest things you have to do, I think, is you've got to get a good O-line, no matter what team you're on, to give yourself a chance to be good on offense. If you don't have an O-line in the front group with you, you're going to be not very good. And when I sort of tried to retool that team starting in 12 in Saskatchewan, the first thing I did was basically throw out the old O-line and bring in the new one, because it was just time that we had to make a change. It's easier said than done. So when I get what I mean by that with Franklin, he's got to have a good O-line. He's got to have good receivers, which I think he does, to be honest with you. Wilder and the running backs are pretty good. And I know Jacques Chapdelaine knows what he's doing on offense, because I've been with Jacques, and I know veteran players have come up to me in the past and said, this is a really good offense. So the scheme and stuff that he's involved with in Toronto, I'm pretty sure is pretty good. Mm-hmm. So everything's there for him to be successful. It's not like he's playing with, you know, an average group of this or an average group of that. He's got the tools around him, I think, to be good. Now it's up to him to do it.
You know, there's a guy we both know well by the name of Darian Durant that's on this broadcast that lives in the Toronto area now that has a tie with Corey Chamberlain. I wonder if Corey's ever would ever have the inkling to call Darian if things don't go the way he wants, you know, being a first-year coach, trying to get a foothold there and get some winning turned around in Toronto.
Well, not only that, Ballsy, but probably more importantly, Jim Popp is a big North Carolina guy, and that's where Darian played college football. And I know Jim's always liked Darian, too. So I think when you add Corey's experience with Darian involved and Jim's Carolina connection, so to speak, I think they're, you know, it doesn't sound as far-fetched as you may, you know, as some people might think it is.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about this almost every broadcast. If you don't have a quarterback and you're not successful, you ain't going to win games.
No, you're just not.
You better change it.
You're just not going to win games. You know, and you touched on something here. I want to bring the two things together. You saw the Riders pick up that Jefferson, big O-lineman, had a cup of coffee in the NFL with about four different teams. And then they got that Jake Bennett kid out of Colorado State in the supplemental draft, another offensive lineman. So it looks like they're kind of bolstering their offensive lineman while they try to find that quarterback, which is probably, like you alluded to, a good way of going about it.
Oh yeah, I think I'm not familiar with the two guys they picked up, but I'm pretty sure they're probably going to be good, knowing the way they recruit their guys. So, I think they're looking at it with, let's strengthen as good as we can up front, and then around it, it'll work out itself. But, and I'm not saying they have question marks on the guys they have there. I don't know if they do or they don't, but it sounds like those two guys they acquired are pretty talented kids, and I don't even know if they're kids or older guys, so I don't want to call them kids, but they seem to be a grizzled, polished background to them. So looks like on the periphery that they're maybe going to make a change or two at the offensive line coming up here. And, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Of course, the Labatt's nicked up, and you could never have enough good offensive linemen. I think Jefferson's 27 and Bennett is 25. So they're not old, but they definitely have some football underneath them. Now, tell me about the maybe interesting challenge that Jeremy faces this year. He's a new GM. He's coming in here, mm-hmm. and he's got the Grey Cup next year in Regina. Take us back to 2012. How did you handle that situation? Because it's kind of hard to just concentrate on 2012 when you had 2013 right around the corner. You're in a similar spot, or Jeremy's in a similar spot to what you were in.
Yeah, I mean, your focus, and I know this is going to sound boring, but your focus is obviously on the current year, like mine was back in 12, but you know, when me and Corey talked about the team that had just finished playing in 11, we knew it was going to get dismantled pretty much. Just like we knew the team in 15 would have been if we just stayed, but we never got the chance. So anyway, Jeremy, I know a little bit from working with him. I know he is so keyed up on winning this year. I'm sure he's totally focused on that. However, what you just saw with those offensive linemen, he's also thinking about, I'm sure, in his back of his mind, you know, we got to be good next year as well. So he's already probably planning who's going to be the quarterback, who's going to be on our O-line. And, you know, one of the things, like I just told you, is one of the things I knew going into 12 that we had to get for the 13th season was an offensive line that needed to be retooled. Mm-hmm. So we got Picard, we got Labatt, we got Heenan, and we traded for Fulton. And there was 4/5 of them right then and there. They were completed. Now, I didn't know they were going to work out as good as they did, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But those are the little things you do behind the scenes. And when we finished losing to the semifinal in Calgary in 12 in the last minute, you know, Corey got on the plane with me and started writing numbers down on his piece of paper that we had to replace in the secondary because that was the next area that we knew we couldn't win a Grey Cup with the guys we had.
Always working ahead. That's the life of professional football. A couple more quick questions for our friend Brendan Tamman here from the boardroom. Now, do you have a warning for Ryder fans as it relates to Cody? I mean, he looked good. It was a nice game two from game one. Great first step. I like to see three or four games before I start to judge a guy. Do you have a warning for fans? Because I feel like fans and media sometimes are prisoners of the moment. And I saw Tino Cinceri pretty good at one time too. So what are your thoughts on Cody Fajardo?
Well, first of all, I probably owe him an apology because I wasn't sure he could do what he did last week, so I give him a lot of credit for how he played. You're right in what you're saying. You got to be careful. And the one example I can give you is I think it was 2008 in Winnipeg, and Kevin Glenn, we played our first couple of games, and Kevin was sort of up and down, and Doug Berry wanted to make a change as our starter. So we put in Dinwiddie, and we were playing Calgary at home, and Dinwiddie went up and down the field, and he was player of the week. Mm-hmm. And we thought, holy moly, now we really got two good quarterbacks. Well, it turned out the next week we went to Toronto, and I think we lost something like 17-6 or something, like, and it was just dismal. Mm-hmm. And Kevin ended up playing within the next 2 weeks after that. He went back and was our starter. So, yeah, you need more body of work to judge it on. But the good thing is he did show the sign that, hey, I can do this because I wasn't even sure he could. So now that he's gotten over that hump, now the next 2 to 3 games, sort of like Franklin we talked about earlier, this is going to be big for Fajardo, if I said it right.
Yeah, you did.
Nobody actually probably thought that whether they knew he had the ability or not. Now he's shown he does, but can he consistently show it? That'll be the key.
Absolutely. Maybe he can do it with some weapons that prove that they're kind of developing too. Shaq Evans had a big game, maybe his biggest game as a Rider, and we talked about the O-line. Okay, last question for you. Now, I don't think this is a must-win, Brendan Tamman, but take me inside the GM or coach's mind and the stress of it, okay? You lose this game. You lose this game. You're 0-3. You've lost to 3 Eastern opponents, you know, arguably from the weaker, well, not arguably, it is from the weaker side of things in the CFL. And your next 3 games are against Calgary and 2 against BC, which we like to call 4-point games. Take me inside the GM or the coach's mind right now. You always say we take them one at a time, but that's a bunch of malarkey. You got to look ahead and say, man, we can't afford to lose this ball game.
Oh, yeah, 100% ballsy. I mean, unfortunately, I can relate to this a little bit. In 15, when we started 0-1, then we went 0-2, then we went 3, 4, 5, 6. And what I mean by that is that the snowball really gets rolling quick, and the pressure and the stress, even in your organization, let alone your team, amongst yourselves, it really grows. And people aren't stupid. I mean, they can see what they've just done. They've lost 2. They've got a perceived winnable game against Toronto, even though you never know, right? So if you do happen to unfortunately lose and you go 0-3, your collars get tight, you're not sleeping as well, the pressure is mounting. I'm sure the province will just go crazy if they do lose. And you're not blind to it. You can feel it. And the pressure in that locker room starts to really mount because they know they got to win a game and soon to stay in this race, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what anybody says right now. It's not about making the playoffs. That organization has always, and I think it came out even this week, they want a home playoff game for a lot of reasons, competitively and financially. And I would be shocked if that wasn't a goal going into this year, that we want a home playoff game. Doesn't mean they'll have a bad year if they don't, but if you go 0-3 and you're in the West, your chances of finishing second are really starting to diminish quick and soon, and that's scary at the start of the year.
For sure. That's Brendan Tamman with some other insightful chit-chat on the Canadian Football League from the boardroom. Thanks for this, Brendan.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Growing the game with Ballsy. He's brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigree, durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at riviereagseeds.ca. This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, a podcast dedicated to growing the sport of football in Saskatchewan. Now, here's Ballsy.
This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, and we're joined on the phone now by Zeljko Stefanovic. He's with the South Sask Selects football program, and he's also involved in a venture that I wanted to get to in a second. But first off, I can speak from experience. You took my son down south as one of, I think it was seven other kids, or six other kids along with him, down for a little tour of some United States schools to get them some exposure. Tell us about it.
Right. Like, you know, I think we ended up taking about 10 kids, Michael, and, you know, all the feedback that we've been getting has been tremendous. Like, you know, the kids are now getting some interest from some of the U.S. schools, Division I schools and Division II schools. You know, some of the kids were younger, right? You know, we're exposing some of these grade 9s and grade 10 kids to the U.S. game and what this whole college scene is all about, and going out and playing against and competing against some of the best athletes in the U.S. that the U.S. has to offer. So we ended up going to three different schools. We went to Northwestern, which is kind of the Ivy League of the Big Ten. It's a great university. And then from there, we went to Wisconsin, who's also a Division I school in the Big Ten. And then from there, we went to South Dakota State. And you'll know from last year, that's where Ethan Vibert actually was offered a scholarship, and he'll be leaving at the end of the month for South Dakota State to start his four-year or five-year scholarship with that school. So it was super exciting. We hope to get some more traction, you know, with some of the kids. And if nothing else, man, an unbelievable experience for these boys. And, of course, they're learning a lot, you know, especially when you relate that to, you know, the Selects program and that we do play U.S. rules football. So it was a great experience. You know, the feedback from the kids and the universities has been unbelievable.
Yeah, my son was a part of it. He said, Dad, this is cool. I'm on the same field as Russell Wilson and Melvin Gordon and J.J. Watt. So it was cool, and definitely a credit to you and your program for doing that for the kids. Now, as part of this program, you guys do play some international football. I know you've gone down to San Antonio in the past, but you're doing something for the first time here this summer. You're welcoming Mexico here, which is kind of tying in with the whole CFL global theme, I guess.
It is, Ballsy. You know, and we when we go to San Antonio, we do play some teams from Mexico because it's so close. So last year, actually over the last several years, we've been kind of trying to put something together for Saskatchewan in the summertime. And lo and behold, you know, four Mexican teams will be coming to play us this summer. And it'll be the 10U, 12U, 14U, and 16U age divisions. So we're super excited about having them and hosting them. And you know, part of this program is going to be kind of a home and away, that we're going to host them in the summertime here, and then of course they're going to host us in the winter when we go to Mexico. So we're going to be taking four teams this year to San Antonio, and then three teams, you know, off age groups to Cabo San Lucas. So if anybody's interested, you know, we are going to be making a stint to Cabo for a week. And where we're going to, you know, enjoy ourselves, and then the kids are going to take in a tournament.
All right, and you have more details on your website?
Absolutely, you bet.
Okay, cool.
And it is selectsfootball.com.
All right, and the other reason I have you on here today on the broadcast is for this reason. I watched the Rough Rider game last week, and maybe some fans picked it out, maybe they didn't, but these guys have these collars around their neck. I know my son had one. He brought one home from the college recruiting trip that he was on with you, and they're called Q collars. Tell us about it.
Right. So what happened is last year, during, you know, I tell you what, like we focus on three main things in our Selects program. The first and foremost is safety. you know, I mean, we want to make sure that these kids are safe. Second thing is education, and we want to make sure that kids are learning a lot. And, of course, the third thing is fun. So on the safety component, you know, we have a doctor on the sidelines. I mean, it's we kind of take it to the next level. So last year, one of the parents reached out to us and said, hey, you guys got to try these collars. So, you know, I phoned a company. The company's out of Connecticut. Great bunch of guys to work with. You know, within 48 hours, they had sent us 100 collars to try. It's the first time we'd ever done that. And we equipped our two older teams, our junior varsity and our varsity teams, with these collars, you know. And wow, what a tremendous experience that was for us. Tremendous learning experience. It's a great new technology that helps the kids with brain injuries. And it's the first time, Michael, we had ever gone to San Antonio without a single concussion. And I tell you, a lot of the skeptics that were part of our program that, you know, about these collars, you know, at the end of the tournament, absolutely loved them. And, you know, we spent a lot of time doing research into the science, trying to figure out what this was all about. And all it does is just puts a modest pressure on the jugular veins and allows more blood flow to the brain cavity, which doesn't allow the brain to slosh. And I tell you, the proof is in the pudding. Even with some of the riders, like I think that 13 of the guys are trying the collars out for the first time ever. It's the same collar that Luke Kuechly wears in the NFL and Vernon Davis and Sean Williams. You know, those guys are wearing these collars, and I tell you, Luke Kuechly will not play a down of football without it. And we tried them in our program. Unbelievable success, and I just wanted, you know, to reach out to these guys to see if they'd be interested in wearing them, and lo and behold, a lot of the guys took me up on my offer, and, you know, I mean, half the offensive line is wearing our collar.
Yeah, I saw Dakota Shepley, one of the newcomers, is wearing it. I know Jorgen Hughes, the former Ram, wears it. I even talked to Charleston Hughes. He was going to wear it for the first time, so I'm interested to see how those guys enjoy them. I'll have to catch up with them and get their thoughts, but I'm sure, like you said, they're going to echo what you had to say. Now, if parents are out there with kids playing football and they're interested in these Q-Collars, where can they get more information? How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you know what? They can just go to the Q-Collar.ca website. All the information is on there. We have, you know, we have a great video that they can look at, and, you know, it kind of explains the science behind the collar. You know, they can call me or call Deb, go to our website. You know, we'd be more than happy to share as much information as we can with them. You know, we're helping them promote this product in Canada because we think it's such an important part of the whole football environment. Because I tell you, it's about keeping the kids safe. And if we can do our share to keep the kids safe, you know, it's going to grow the game. Exactly what you're talking about, Ballsy. It's going to grow the game in Saskatchewan. We're trying to launch this thing and spread the word in Saskatchewan because it is the mecca of football in Canada, as we all know. And we're hoping that a lot of kids are going to adopt it and start wearing it because it'll make them safer.
And this is a guy looking out for our kids, Zelko Stefanovic. That's how I say it, right? Stefanovic.
You bet, Ballsy.
Good,
I got
that one down. We can all get that one down together. And just like Cody Fajardo, they call him Cody Fajardo. He lets everybody call him Cody Fajardo because he said he's tired of correcting people when it's Fajardo. So now I know the correct pronunciation of your name. Thank you very much, Zelko.
Absolutely. Anytime, Ballsy.
That was another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a story idea you'd like Michael Ball to pursue, please email him at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.